Greetings, greetings, y'all. What a time it is to just be alive and living very purposefully. I don't know about y'all, but for me, the last few months of the year bring about a lot of introspective thinking, reflection, and seeking out direction for what's to come. I actually enjoy this season, the Q4 of the year. I feel like it's when I get to bask in the gift of hindsight from the past year and think about what I can do differently, what I can continue to do as is, and what I can seek to do better. It's when we get to willingly shift our perspective into full faith of what is to come. One thing I'm happy to reflect on this year is how today's guest shifted from a contact I just knew of to a sister I'm so grateful for. My guest today is Sherita Harkness. And if there's anything worth knowing about Sherita, it's that her family has taught her how to love God, love herself, love people, and that Mr. Rogers taught her how to be a great neighbor. Yeah, see, Sherita hails from Atlanta, Georgia. She is a speaker, creative director, writer, producer, voiceover artist, and consultant. The list goes on and on. There is a single thread of magic woven into her story, however, and that is to follow God to the next best yes. And like many of our favorite movie characters experiencing conflict, she's done so reluctantly at times, but it is her curiosity in the storms of life that has often led people to ask her, how did you do that? Only to answer their own battles with a resounding, so can I. From leaving the film industry to teach, to adopting her 11-year-old son on her 25th birthday, to living several years overseas in Dubai, to starting her own creative consulting and production business, to moving back to Chicago in the middle of a pandemic, Sherita's heart is to follow Jesus more than anything. Sherita has spoken at nonprofits, churches, corporate gatherings, and various conferences across the U.S., and her heart is to steward every speaking opportunity to encourage men and women to live for the more than moments life has to offer. For it's in these moments, right between the magic and the messy, the ones we didn't see coming, that we step into the beautiful beginning of a story we could never have imagined for ourselves. With that being said, I can't wait for you to get to know Sherita. So let's dive into this episode. Well, it's that time again, everyone. It's a new episode of Page From My Book, and I'm super excited today. You know, when God just connects you with people and it's so divine, you can tell in your soul, like, oh, I was supposed to know this person. Yeah, that's my guest today. And you guys heard about her in the introduction, but no one tells their story better than them. So I'm going to pass the mic over to our special guest for today. She's going to tell you about herself, and then we're going to dive right in. So with that, let's take it away.
Hello, Miss Allison.
Hello.
Hello to everyone. My name is Sherita. I currently live in the Chicagoland area. Moved here during the pandemic. If there ever is another one, I don't recommend that because I bought my house virtually. So interesting. But thankfully, I love it here. It's been great. I really love it now because it's summer. And Chicago summers, I now understand why everyone loves them so much, because the other 17 months of the year feel extremely long. So I've been here now about a year and a half. I am the eldest of four children to my parents, who I'm so excited they're celebrating their 41st anniversary this year. Yay. And then, yeah, I guess I lived overseas. I've lived in Dubai. I've lived a couple different states and traveled a lot. And I think the thing that has never failed me is food, and is my favorite thing. And I love to try new food. So it's been great. Life is, I've been really blessed.
I mean, you have, because what we're not going to do is get over, I lived in Dubai, and like, how was that? How did that even come about?
I moved to Dubai because during the recession, like 2010 or whatever, 2011, yeah. I had a friend that was like, "Hey, you should come over here." And I said, I'm not moving to the sand. I'm good. Osama
Right.
might still be alive. You know what I'm saying?
All these
The
questions.
Syrian war was happening. I was like, Obama might not come get me. And
Right.
I'm brown. I'm gonna blend right in with that sand. And he was like, "Sharita, please." So I went and I went the first year as a teacher. They pulled me out of my class because the sheikh, his office found out that I had requirements to write curriculum specifically for production and television because I had a background in all of that. And so they pulled me out of my class and had me basically write a curriculum that was aligned to British standards for the UAE. And then after that, I was exhausted. And so I said, well, I'm gonna go. And I ended up working at a church there for 2.5 years and then came back home. So yeah, I got there because of a friend's invitation and I stayed because it was wonderful and very it's 180 different nationalities that are in the city of Dubai alone. And not the UAE, but just the city of Dubai. And so for me, that was life-giving because I just was raised to love different people and try different things and learn about culture. And it just comes natural. And I probably felt the most I don't know, just at home there. And I was an expat. I wasn't even in my own country. So it's an amazing place. But yes, I did live in Dubai for 4 years.
So y'all can clearly see Sharita is a boss, natural one at that. I vacationed in Dubai, and I will say it was amazing. But that is, it's a whole nother level when you're stepping out into like making a place your home. But what a awesome adventure and experience, because you get this life and you want to maximize it, and it requires some faithful moves. And
Yeah,
so
well, it takes risk, you know. I think if it had happened now, I'm a little older. I'm not gonna say how old I am right now,
listen, I get that.
but I'm older now, and if it happened now, I might have been like, nah, I'm good. But it was fun. I was turning 30 that year and I was excited and I was just like, you know what, let's just try. And I figured if you try it, you don't like it, you can always come back.
Absolutely.
And some people did, but I really enjoy. I met some of my best friends there, and they are from all over the world, from Thailand, from Britain, they're Pakistani. I mean, like the list goes on. People who were Muslim, people who were Christian, people who were Buddhist, like, and that just enriched my story and enriched my life. And I would not trade it for anything in the world, like ever.
I hope that inspires someone listening to just take that leap.
Oh yeah,
True.
totally. Don't wait. Don't wait for people. Just go.
Do
Just
not.
try
Do
it.
not. And like you said, that's actually one of the philosophies I've lived by, because I've moved around a lot too. Not abroad, but I always say, like, and if you don't like it, you can come back.
You can come back.
It's not like
You
a
can come back.
irrevocable or irrevocable decision.
Right.
So yeah, I think that's so awesome. I
Right.
love that. I love that. So listen, I want to dive in.
Okay.
This season, it's been said a couple times for those who have been listening to each podcast consecutively, that the theme for this season is I didn't see it coming, which is so much part of life. But I loved hearing everyone's individual story, because it's honestly so encouraging to see those moments that life just brings you that you didn't ask for or plan for, and then how you've allowed your story to be written after those moments. So without further ado, I'd love for you to just dive in on what that moment was for you. I know there's probably many, but what are one of the bigger ones?
So I guess to know me, the largest one, like I said, I lived overseas in Dubai. The thing that propelled me to come back was my mom had several strokes. So I had to come back and I was starting all over again. And then I felt like I was like, you need to start a company. Like, start a company. Who does that? Like, I was a teacher. I'm good. I've been working at churches. Like, let me just find something in the nonprofit sector. I'll just keep going. And it was like, no, you need to start a company. And I, for the life of me, could not find a job. And I was like, this is ridiculous. I have all the degrees, you know. So fast forward, I'm sitting with my mom at the hospital. This is now her, at the time, it was like her sixth stroke. And it was a major stroke. So she had lost a lot of functionality, like everything. She's learning again. We're in a rehab center. And I just was like, God, like, you got to do something. And so I end up going to this, it was my birthday actually. And I ended up going to this worship night. And I was like, who goes to church on their birthday? This is so lame. I should be somewhere turning up. But like, that's the person I am. My friend was like, you don't turn up. I'm like, I turn a little. I wasn't turning nothing. I just went on to the church and then get there. And there's this lady. And she basically said, oh, you know, I'll pray with you, whatever. And I'm like, okay, cool. And she looked like she could pray, so we was all right. And then I stand there and I said my name and I said, I'm from Dubai and this is the situation. My mom's in the hospital. I'm trying to figure something out. And she said, wait, what's your name? And I told her my name's Sharita. And she goes, I got an email about you 3 years ago
Wow.
from someone that she had visited in Dubai at the church that I was helping to plant there. And she was like, I don't have a job to give you, but I know somebody who might be able to help you. And from that moment, that started this journey of me starting my business. So I started to learn what contracting was and start contracting with some churches and corporate nonprofits and then corporate brands like Chick-fil-A and different people. And so I started getting this experience. And right as I was taking off, one of my friends at the church that I was contracting with died, went into cardiac arrest and died like right in front of us. About
Wow.
3 months later, my son, who I had adopted my first year of teaching, he was Indian, and Hindu. I was Christian, Black, very interesting thing. But we had the best relationship, and he died in a car accident. And so I'm just like in the middle of trying to get my, you know, business off the ground and all this stuff happens. And like, I feel like everything just kind of fell apart. And I'm like, well, God, if you said do this, you know, like why all these other things, you know, watching my friend die. And then, you know, just a few months later, my son dies. And then, I've lost people before, but it's different when you lose your child. And I didn't really know what to expect. I don't think I understood grief the way I understand it now. And I just was just overwhelmed. So that happened in 2018, was probably almost another year. I kept trying to get jobs and doing things. And because I did have clients still who were very patient to, you know, let me grieve and try to come back to work. But it was just hard. And then as soon as I got on my feet again, 2020 comes. And it's like, what is happening right now?
What?
And that the irony, though, was even though it was a hard year, you know, the world shut down, all these things, I actually prospered in some way from that because it gave me space to rebuild a lot of my business, the ability just to kind of think, you know, everybody was home, so I didn't have this feeling of like, oh, everybody's, you know, life is moving faster than mine, and it just helped me kind of reset. And so then, I got a job offer in the middle of all that to come to Chicago from an organization here. And I said, okay, well, you know, like you said, your thing, why not just go? You don't like it, you can always come home. And I get here, everything seeming to work out, you know, fairly well, other than thousands of feet of snow. And I'm from Atlanta, so that's not, it was not helping me to get adjusted to being here. And then I started having these bouts with just my grief kind of resurfacing from my son, from, and I think probably because I was alone, I was in a new place, didn't really know a lot. And I also, during that time when he passed away, was struggling with suicide. And so that started kind of coming back up. The job was extremely stressful. It was a toxic environment on a lot of levels. I didn't realize it. And it was, you know, I think when organizations try to rebuild, and they try to restructure, especially after something like the pandemic. If you're not careful, you can break the people that are, you know, coming into your space. And so I decided to walk away from that organization because it just wasn't helping, you know, helping me to get better. And I wasn't being able to, or I hadn't been able to fully utilize the gifts and the things that I was told, oh, you're going to be able to do this, especially as a woman of color. And so I think a lot of those factors just, it was a lot of things playing into it. So I was like, okay, God, well, I guess we just go back to Atlanta. And God was like, nope, I want you to stay. I'm like, for what reason? And so I know you said for one thing, but I feel like the journey, when I was thinking about, you know, what I'm going to talk about, I just realized my story has been a journey, a season of ups and downs, and with extremely extreme lows. And I have often asked God, like, why do you keep doing this? Like, whether my mom, you know, has another stroke, or, you know, like I said, my son dies, or I come to this organization thinking I'm gonna have this, you know, opportunity to change and do things, and then that falls through. Like, And then you say stay in that. There's a word that is in the scripture that people often use that I actually don't like at all, but I recognize it's necessary, and the word is abide. And when I looked that word up, because God was really working on my heart, just it's only been about a year now since that job kind of, we just both agreed, let's go different ways. And was like, oh God, okay, I'm gonna find something else that's gonna be quick. And it has not been quick. It has been, I think, even harder this time around to rebuild my business here in Chicagoland versus when I was in Atlanta. I feel like in Atlanta, things were hard, but like God just kind of kept dropping, like, Hansel and Gretel breadcrumbs. We get into the place. And then it got here and he's like, all right, let's just sit here, let's abide. And why remain? Why stay in that? And the thing I've come to understand, I can't say I understand it fully. I can't say that I'm so excited that I'm rebuilding and going through all the drama, but I think the thing I've learned is when you have to sit in the heaviness and you have to sit in the hard things, you actually are building a foundation of for your faith and also for your gifting to actually do the thing that it's supposed to do on a totally different level, right? And I think a lot of times it's easy to want to run from challenges, to want to run away or hide or just take the easy way. I mean, I've had so many people like, why don't you just go get like a regular job? I'm like, first of all, I've tried that. It hasn't worked. Second of all, I feel like I hear God very clearly. It's not some crazy audible voice. The best description I've ever heard is from the book Eat, Pray, Love. And she says, the voice that she heard is quiet and reassuring, and it sounds like her own voice, but at peace. And so that's what it sounded like when I kept saying, I need to go, I need a home, I need to go back to Atlanta. And it's like, nope, you stay here. And God has provided, not in some miraculous, crazy, sweep me off my feet kind of way. It hasn't been even in big chunks, like, all right, here's this big corporate client, or here's this blah, blah, blah. It's just been in what I consider to be faithful magic moments, where God just says, okay, here's this moment. You need this in this moment. Here you go. Okay, you need friendship in this moment. Here you go. I mean, I feel like you were one of those people, you were one of those magic moments, and God was like, all right, here you go. Here's a person for you to connect with and, be vulnerable and be open. And, here, and those moments, you don't see it when you're in it, but when you look back, you're like, oh, that's my yellow brick road. It's not something that I'm trying to follow to get to this, big thing. It actually, I've been in it the whole time. So when you learn to abide and you learn to remain, then you are getting the foundation you need, but you also are able to see, what I personally believe I'm able to see God show up in ways I never could have imagined. And like I said, it's not huge, they're small, but faithfulness is about showing up consistently. Right? It's not showing up in this big moment and now I got to figure out the rest. And then on top of that, I don't know if people who are listening know this yet, but I love Jesus. So that's why we're using all these little scriptures. But there is a scripture also that says, your word is a light to my feet and a lamp to my path. And in the desert, in my time in Dubai, I started to understand more contextually of what that actually meant. Because when you're in the desert, and you go out and you can do like camel rides and stuff like that, but out in the desert away from the city, ain't no light, okay? It is pitch dark. Just think, if you live in the country, there's no light. I mean, no light, okay? And you have you'll light like a little kerosene lamp, whatever. When you light it up, you can't see it far away. You only can see what's right in front of you, and you can only see maybe 2 feet that you can step. So you kind of got to hold it out. And so when it says that, I just thought, oh, well, that's the same thing in my story, right? Like God's word, if I hold it up to where I'm trying to go, I'm not going to see all the way down to the end. But I know that it's going to be good at some point because I've seen the goodness following me. And so it may not be good right now. I don't know what's coming, but if I just take the next step, it don't have to be big. It just has to be small. You know what I mean? I'll see in my abiding, in my waiting on God to show up, even though I'm active to keep moving, that He's going to show me, okay, this way, okay, this way, okay, this way. And when I look back, I'll see, oh, that wasn't just for me. That was also for some other people that are coming behind me. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if I answered the question as far as just the story and all the things, but that I can't say that there's been one pivotal, hard thing. I just think that it's been this big roller coaster up and down that has had extremely low lows, like I said, from moments of my mom's strokes and my son dying to losing, the opportunity here, the way I thought it was going to unfold. And then also just recognizing like God is still good.
It all.
The goodness doesn't change because my circumstance changed.
Yeah.
And I recognize that that faithfulness is a currency, right? Faith is a current people. I've heard people say, oh, faith is a currency. I thought that was dumb. But then just real talk. That's what I thought. But like when I sit and think about it, I'm like, well, the faith necessarily, as far as like, it is not dependent on me, right? Because when you say, oh, you gotta have faith, people think you gotta believe so hard, or I believe so hard. I was believing that my mom wouldn't have any more strokes.
Listen.
I was believing that my friend who was dying in front of me was gonna live at the hospital. I was believing that my son's death was, somehow he wouldn't have died, in the ambulance. And yet all of those things didn't quote unquote come through because I didn't believe hard enough. It wasn't about that. It was about the fact that that was a circumstance. My faith was being actually built and forged in all of that. And the currency, the thing that is paying for it, isn't this next big moment. It's just actually my life lived out, and ability to live out the thing that I say I actually believe and trust in. And then to be able, like I said, to look back and help other people and look forward and know I made it through that. I can make it through this next thing. So
Yeah, I mean, you said so much and it was so good and I was like, "Ooh, okay." And I love that you are able to talk about moments you didn't see coming in the collective, because that is what life is. It's moment. It's literally moments that you don't plan. And quite frankly, Sharita, you said so much. I'm trying to figure out where I even want to begin, because there's
Sorry.
so many nuggets that I want to lean into. I think one that I identify with that you shared is understanding the huge impact and beauty in those little moments. You know, I've heard different analogies to discuss that, but I love, you sharing about the scripture and then talking about your time in Dubai. The funny thing is, I probably resonated with it, because when you said it, I remember being there and being
Girl,
like, oh, it was dark, dark. Like, it's
it's
like, if you are not at a,
at the fire. If you don't
if
have the
you're at the
bonfire in front of
fire
you,
where, the
right.
little excursion area,
Yes,
it is like, I don't
you're
know
by
what's out
yourself.
there. I don't know what, I mean, it's not a light in sight.
No,
And so
ma'am.
I understood that. I saw that, like, when it's just is pure darkness. And I honestly, the funny thing is, I don't know how often we are away from light, like the city light, so much that we understand what that feels outside of another realm. Like, yeah, spiritually, you
You
can,
feel that darkness.
but truly, it is like, okay, I know that type of faith to go forward, to just see a little, it does require faith. But to your point, you have these pivotal moments where you look back and say, like, but I made it from there. So I can trust that the one who's giving me the light, because I'm still here, which means I haven't succumbed to the darkness. And it is important, as you said, to reflect back on that. The other thing that I, want to touch in, because I think a lot of people have shared, when a moment happened or moments happened, the fortitude it took to get past that. And I think that's super important. What I like that you talked about, and I want to lean more into, is the how to keep the faith piece. I identify with that so much, and I'm sure others have, who have lost loved ones or lost really significant dreams that are irreparable. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like you can get it back. It's not like where people are always like, some people say, well, it's not the end of the day. You can always
Do XYZ,
do X, Y. I'm like, no, that was it. That's it's done. I
it's
can't bring a
not coming back.
person back this time.
Right,
You know, like,
yeah.
and to be honest, there are some dreams, especially if they were tied to age, you can't
Yes.
reclaim.
Yes.
And the concept of, I'm bringing in two nuances that you said. One was that keep the faith. The other one was that, like, how faith works, how it works. Because, part of us wants to believe that like the amount of faith you have is
Right.
what carries you.
Right.
And that can't be true because I know, at
No.
least for me, when I went, like, for example, I lost my sister. When I prayed for her, you couldn't have gone, you, I don't, in my physical being, I don't know if there was ever anything that I had prayed for. And then all the little, you know, things you thought you're supposed to do, I was doing air quotes, by the way, that like you're supposed to do in order to make a faith movement happen. And also, you know, scripture says I just needed the size of a mustard seed. And I know I exceeded that.
You had
I know I did.
right.
But yet it wasn't the that I didn't have enough. You were talking about how it's consistently showing up and consistently be there. And it makes me think of the story when Jesus was in the boat. Who was walking on water?
Peter.
Peter. And you know, they, you know, we've heard that story before, and like he took his step off the boat, and you know, the current reader is like, oh my gosh, like, can you imagine that type of faith? And then, you know, the scripture goes on to say, and when the storms are kind of getting a little crazy, like lost his footing and begin to sink. And so we can look back and say, like, oh, he just needed more faith. He just needed more faith. And what's funny to me is when I hear that story, I'm like, really though? Because how many people have walked on water? Like, I don't think it was a lack of faith. You know,
No.
my man was out there.
Okay.
You
He
know,
just took the step. He was
he
like,
just
let's
took the
go.
step. He just took the
Give
step.
us
So he wasn't
time.
faithless, you
Right.
know.
No.
So it wasn't necessarily in that particular story for me, what I pulled away, it wasn't necessarily that he didn't have the opportunity wasn't in his depth of faith. He had depth.
No. Right.
He stepped out on it. But it was the consistency. It's
Right.
like we give up when we feel like, oh my gosh, this is not happening the way I need it to happen.
Well, it's also the distractions. Because if you
And
remember, Peter is a fisherman. So this joker
yes,
knew how to swim. So when it
totally.
said that he starts to sink, it's the fact that he allowed himself to be overwhelmed by the
Yes.
circumstances that were around him
Right.
instead of focusing on the solution that was in front of him
Yes,
and
yes.
saying, okay, Jesus. So it wasn't so much about even faith, like, oh, I can walk. It was the faith
Totally.
that, did Jesus, do you see me?
Yes.
Like, because he lost that. And so when Jesus says, oh, you have little faith, it's
Yeah.
not to condemn
At
Peter.
all. At
It's just
all.
to be like, sir, I was right here. Like,
Yes.
I'm with you. I didn't leave you in this storm. So
Right.
you're right. It's not. And
It
then,
wasn't like he didn't have it. Like, let's be
no.
clear, the story wouldn't be being told if he was faithless.
Right.
You
Because
know, it's.
he started the journey, but it was like you said, it's the consistency of,
Yeah.
will I allow myself to still see
Yes.
Jesus in the
Yes.
middle of the storm and not be overwhelmed by the distraction,
Yeah.
the hard things or the heavy things that want to say or that would want to make me feel like, well, God is not real or God is
Right.
not here or he can't possibly see me because I believe for this didn't happen.
Yeah.
Well, that's life, number one.
That is
And that's also a part of the world that we live in.
totally.
And so for people who would consider themselves believers, that's their sin, right?
Right,
So
right.
that ability to fail God, that's all that means. Sin is the ability that you fail God and you fail others. If that's here, then that's going to happen in life. But
You're
the only
right.
person who doesn't fail is God, is Jesus. So he just was telling Peter, sir, I was right here.
Sir, sir.
Okay, just
And I to your point, and I don't say that to condemn those who feel like we haven't, we've all been in Peter's situation.
right.
But I think that one point is, and you shared it earlier, that he is faithful and he continues to do that. So it's for us to know that like when we do look back and we see where we've gone, it wasn't necessarily because it's like, oh, you had bigger faith or faith filled you in areas that where it was down. It was knowing that the one who doesn't fail is straight ahead and I can keep going. And that's what I'd love for you. I mean, you've touched on it, but I there's something that I feel I want people to hear about that. When you think of all the things that we're like, dang, I've experienced so much loss. I don't know what else I was supposed to do. And yet, you know, I can still look at my I can stand in my faith, look at God and say, I'm still gonna move forward. You know, just talk about that. What would that was like for you, just in that moment? I know you have, but just the core, real, raw feeling of in those moments, how you kept that going.
I think that's the word abide.
Yeah.
Like the where that shows up in the scripture is around the allegory or the analogy of a vine, right? Everybody who love wine, all of my wine sommelier people out there, so wonderful. Even though y'all just drink Moscato and think that is wine, so there's this analogy. If you go to Napa or you go to any wine, you know, vineyard, you'll see that the graphing of the vines inside the like the fence. What do you call it? People look at it, you say, "Oh, that's a fence." So they're graft onto this little fence, right? And so the way that the vine is able to exist when the winds come and stuff is that it grafts itself where it grows. It's intertwined into each other, and so it holds on together. Well, God says, "I'm the vine and you are the branch." So if I would abide in, if I allow myself to regraft myself back in, even if you go close up to a vine, sometimes the vines will come off the fence, quote unquote, and then they'll go back onto the vine and it's weaving itself in and out. And so the best way that I have found in my story to recognize that God is still there is that sometimes, A, I don't shame myself when I feel like I want to walk away.
Yeah,
Because there
good.
were days that I did not want to talk or to God, have nothing to do with Jesus. And I was angry because my son was dead, or I was angry because my mom can't speak the way she could before. I'll never hear her voice the way that I heard her voice before because it's not there. And so there are moments where you go, but then the fact that I know in my heart, okay, but let me come back to God. So now I wove myself back into that. And that looks like surrounding myself with people who are going to speak truth to me. People who are gonna not just let me grieve, because I feel like there's sometimes, at least in the last year or two, I've heard a lot of people who've lost people go, "Oh, I need my space to grieve." But and grief does show up in different ways, but you can't sit in it, because if you stay there for forever, if you abide in the grief for forever, then you can't actually be present with God. He's present with you, but you can't see him. Like Peter, you're just surrounded by all this darkness, and it's like you don't see anything else but that. And so I had to surround myself with people who were going to encourage me, who were going to love on me, who were going to point me back to Jesus. I also put myself, and again, that's because I'm a believer in Christ. For other people, that's different things. I went to therapy, you know, all these things that would basically help me build a foundation that I could stand on while I was waiting for God to show up in a moment that I needed him, whether that was to show up and give me peace, to show up and give me joy, to show up and financially. I had somebody during the COVID season. I mean, this is all, like I said, it was all rapid. Everything just kind of kept happening. But somebody called, butt dialed me. We started talking. I told her I was good. She said, "But you have your own business. Like it's around events and management of content and all this stuff. And nobody's doing that. So how are you making it?" I said, "Girl, God, like, I don't know. Like money is in the bank right now. So we'll see." And she and her husband and made a decision to send me $2,500 at the end of the week. I didn't know it. I didn't tell her, "Oh, this is what I need." And I was at the moment that they sent it, I was about to do, if you a churchgoer, you tithe, right? My little 10% what I had in the bank. And I was looking at that bank account and I was like, "Now, Jesus, I mean, we could skip the tithe this month."
Let me know.
Okay. If you at any point in time you were to say, "Don't press the button," like
I
I could
got
take
you.
the audible voice right now, that Charleston Heston, I could take it. And I was just like, "No, I'm gonna trust. I'm gonna have faith," because to me, that's also what faith is. It's just trusting God, right? That I can take him at his word. And so I went to press the button and they text me, "Oh, check your Venmo." I said, "Oh, I don't have Venmo." They said, "Oh, well, check what you got." I said, "I got PayPal." They said, "Oh, well, check your PayPal. We just wanted to give you a little something." That's not little. I mean, if it's little in your
No,
book, God bless.
God
Okay.
bless.
But in my book, hallelujah. I was like, let's just
Come
do a little
on.
dance. Okay. And so all of those, I think again, abiding, it looks different in different seasons for different people in different ways, but it is you remaining in a space physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually that you trust God, that whether you believe in, I mean, if you're a follower of Christ, that you believe that Jesus is true and that his word is true and that it will come for you. And if you're not a follower of Christ, then at least trusting in the fact that there is someone that loves you more than you could ever imagine. And even if you don't trust that, just understanding that there's still more in life,
Yeah.
right? And that there's something else. Because I feel like, you know, that's the place where you fall off, but the abiding is that little breadcrumb. I'm going to stay right here till I get the next step. And then I'm going to trust that I could take the next step and that goddamn he's not going to leave me. That Jesus is going to show up. And so I think for me and my story, that's literally from my mom to my friend to my son to the, you know, rebuilding here in Chicago. And that's still an ongoing process. Like, it's not like, oh, well, girl, you know, my business is off. No, like, it's still consistent. And even today, I mentally had to tell myself, like, this is not the end. And it's also not the beginning. You're
Right.
in the middle. Like, your life is the middle. You know, that big dash they put on your gravesite. Like, you're in the dash right now. And so instead of focusing on what hasn't happened and focusing on what already happened, let me just focus on, again, that abiding, being present. And let me just find one thing to trust. Let me find one thing that I can trust. When I look back, that's really just to remind me that I can trust the thing right now.
Right.
And when I'm looking forward, that's to remind me the thing I'm trusting and believing for now, it's going to manifest itself. It actually, and I have to give it grace and give myself grace that it may not manifest the way I expect it to,
Yes.
but that it will manifest the way that it's supposed to.
Yes.
And if I just use my little currency of trust, that I can get to the next step and I'll see things unfold. And that's when you get to those high moments in it. You know, usually that's when we go, oh God, it's so good. But
Yeah.
I have trained myself. I'm training myself even in the hard times when it's not the mountains and say, God is so good. So
Yeah.
that when I get there, I actually have an awe and a wonder about what I call Holy Spirit magic. Just
Yes.
kind of shows up and it's like, dang.
Yeah.
That's it's good now because of the hard thing that I went through before. You know what I
Right.
mean?
Right.
So
Yeah. You know, heavy emphasis on the it may not unfold the way you want it to, but it will unfold the way it's supposed to. That's a faith statement, and it's very easy to say and super hard to chew. Like
yes.
super hard, because
Yeah.
that the level of patience, and I mean, and not just like pretend patience, but like truly,
Real patient.
like I don't know when this time is gonna happen. I'm gonna be
Right.
okay, and I'm gonna find ways to live joyously in the interim of
Yeah.
literally not knowing what's gonna go on,
Yeah.
which is so difficult. And I'm a person who's super real. Like, I don't want to paint a picture for someone who is going through that. It's just like, yeah, no, it's just exercise patience. And, you know, I'm so grateful that you shared something so vulnerable as to say, you know, you had dealt with suicidal thoughts, because
Oh, yeah.
that is something that so many people deal with. And you talked about like learning to release yourself from shame, from anything that you could tether yourself to figure out like why, like
Yeah.
the why didn't things
Yeah.
happen.
Well, because that's where it connects to the suicidal thoughts. Like, oh, see if you, I mean, and they, and you, I had to work at it with therapy, with, I mean, a lot of things, you know. And I'm grateful that I was able to do that with a community who leaned in and understood, like, it's not something that I'm doing on purpose because I'm mad with you. Like, I had somebody ask me, you know, well, didn't you think about your family? And it's like, no, I was thinking about my family. So I thought that was the best thing for them, that I didn't need to be here. And so, you know, it's retraining your mind around the thoughts and saying, okay, I didn't accomplish this today, but that doesn't make me X, Y, and Z. That doesn't make me a loser. It doesn't make me, you know, any
Both
further
spiritual,
behind. Yeah,
like
right. Or any of
stigmas
that.
of all of that, like, oh,
Right.
people a believer and field X, Y, and Z.
Well, because Jesus was and David was. I mean, you go look in Psalms, David talks all the time about, I just want to die. Like, this is so hard. You know, I can't, I'm mad with you, God. Same Jesus as in the garden. Like, if take this from me. And his depression showed up physically because he was bleeding, sweating blood, which is an actual condition scientifically. You can go find it, you know. So I think it's just a matter of recognizing that. The enemy within your mind. This one guy, I forgot his name, but he wrote a book and he calls it the resistance. And I think if you if you recognize that there's always resistance in your story, right? That's why we love stories. The stories that you love the most are the characters that had the most resistance and that somehow overcame it. And you're like, how the heck did that happen? And if you go back and you watch the movie, most of the time, they don't know how it happened. They don't know how this thing fell in their lap. But we know because we're watching. And we understand because the story is unfolding. But it's the same thing in your own story. So things are, quote unquote, magically showing up, or this person just happens to be in this place at this time or whatever. It's when you allow yourself to recognize, I don't need to know every moment. I don't need to understand every moment, that you actually can be in the moment. And then also recognizing these hard things, they are building something better in my story. I don't know what it is, but I don't have to shame myself because it doesn't look like the thing that I thought it was going to look like. It's better. Like it's going to be better. It doesn't feel like it right now. I don't understand how it's going to be better, but I have to trust and believe it's going to be better. Cause at some point, if I look back, it was better. True. It was better than I would have thought, you know, to begin with. So, you know what I mean? I think that's why the suicidal thoughts, that's why. So you have to reconfigure your mind to release, those moments of shaming yourself and beating yourself up and thinking that you're no good, and, you know, living in from this place of like, there's not more for me, so that you can walk and accomplish the things that are meant for your life. And I feel like people who have suicidal thoughts, a lot of times, if you really stop and think about it, that resistance, that enemy, if you're a follower of Christ, you probably say it's Satan, but all of that, it's only coming because there's something more that's coming. The things hit the hardest when something else is coming. If I can distract you right now, if I can make you take yourself out of the game right now, then you miss what's coming down the road. Mm-hmm. And it's not just what's coming for you, it's what's coming through you. There's something else that's going to come through you. And so the fight is not, oh, I got to fight so I can get this thing. The fight is, I got to fight so I can be this thing, because there's something else I'm supposed to accomplish beforehand. Yeah. Because if it wasn't, you wouldn't be here.
Listen. Yeah. And even to that point, you know, one of the things that I have really done deep work in the last couple of years, and you've touched on a couple times in this episode, is that you have to release the way you want it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was reading books, several books about different people going through things. And one common thread was, there was some level of peace that came once they released the how it needs to happen. Because mm-hmm. often we are really grieving that. We're grieving that. And it's when we don't really grieve that. And when I say grieve, I mean like name it. You're aware of it. You're allowing yourself, you're holding space for yourself to say, I can cry about this and be mad about this mm-hmm. and acknowledge that this is not how I planned.
Yeah.
So when you're grieving that, you're also allowing yourself to be more present in what God is doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll just leverage really quickly. I was reading the story of with Gabrielle Union and her desire to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up having one through surrogate. And she was just explaining in one of her books how even with her gift fully present, she was struggling to find joy because it's still didn't happen. She wasn't able to carry
it. There you go. She wasn't able to carry it.
Yes. And that's a real grief. Like, don't get me wrong. That's why I'm like, you do need to name some things
that
you wanted to happen. But she also named that she came into this realization of like, but she has the gift. And the more focus she put on the way it happened took away from the actual fact that it did happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about that so much of like releasing the how,
mm-hmm.
so that I can see the what is,
mm-hmm.
Because that's what we get hung up on. It's like, oh, I want X, Y, and Z. And then in our minds, subconsciously, and it's human nature to say like, and I want it this way and this way and this way. You know, I want a promotion at work.
Yeah.
So I expect them to give me that promotion. And then when the promotion doesn't happen, in our brains, we say, oh, I didn't get the promotion. One guy was like, no, they didn't give you the promotion, but they're also not Jira.
Right,
They're an organization. Right.
But it's also validation.
Yeah.
That's really why you get upset if you also think about it, because like the promotion is supposed to validate who you are and what you bring to the table.
Yeah.
And so that then also becomes a part of the shame and blaming, right, of other people, because it's easy to blame the situation or circumstance or, well, that's why this didn't happen because blah, blah, blah. And if you're not careful, that's how that turns into negative thoughts, right? Because you're like, well, see, if you were more like this, then you would have X, Y, and Z. Or if you were more like that, then you would have gotten married by now. Or if you would have done X, Y, and Z, you would have had, you know, the friend group or the whatever the situation is. And so if you remove not just the shame, but also the need for the validation and what God has gifted you uniquely to do and uniquely to be. Yes. And you just say, you know what? This, and it is ongoing. That's why, again, ongoing. For people who might be believers, you read the word and it says you have by the renewing of your mind, you have to renew your mind. You have to tell your mind, you have to change your mind every day. And that, whether that's through affirmations or reading the word of God and saying, okay, this is what truth is, because your mind will lie to you about a lot of things. And you'd be sitting in your own little world, in your own little bubble. You've seen them on Facebook and you're saying stuff and you're like, yeah, nobody else is actually going with that. Mm-hmm. And so it can damage the thing that God wants to deliver to you because you are so overwhelmed with, again, how you thought it was going to happen, who was going to give it to you, and what that was going to say about who you are.
Right.
Versus recognizing, no, you just are right now.
Right.
That place of abiding is also with you recognizing this is who I am, because I am the God who knows me, God who created me in his image. And so I am these things and I'm uniquely designed to be me.
Yes.
And at the time it's supposed to happen, it will unfold. I don't need the validation. I don't need the, you know what I mean? You
and I
want
don't
that. We crave that. Don't need it.
Totally. And I don't need, at least for me, I'll name that learning, like, the harvest is promised if I sowed, but it won't always come from the same field. And
girl,
I think that part of disappointment. And as you said, the affirmation that you needed from it, like, no, it needed to come from there. It needed to come from there. Cause that's where I sowed, you know? And just it's so much about release. And when you think about those moments where you're like, this is a surprise. And I name that there's value in planning. There's a part
it
of
is.
That. It's
it
more
is.
So for exercise and your preparedness, but you have to hold the planning and the flexibility in parallel, you know, hands. Like, I'm open to how the story is going to be written, and I'm staying prepared, and I'm mentally preparing and spiritually preparing for what you do, because the promise is the promise. How the promise happens, That's on G.
And you saw how you held your hands up, though.
Yes.
I can hold something in my hands and my hands are closed.
Yes.
So this is my plan, my preparedness, right?
Yes.
My purpose, my. Versus recognize I have this thing that I've started the last, I'd say, well, when my son died, because I was trying to rationalize, like, how do I understand his death? How do I deal with this? And it came to me just saying, it's all borrowed.
Yeah.
My son is borrowed. He was not my son.
Correct.
Not just because I adopted him and I physically didn't have him. He was not mine. My mom is not mine. She doesn't belong to me. It's borrowed. Like, God said, hey, here you go.
Yeah.
And for people who may not. Yeah, I'm borrowed. And for people who may not believe in God or may not be, you know, followers of faith as far as Christianity or, you know, Jesus, to be a Christ follower, like, it still doesn't matter if you can't take anything with you when you die.
No.
Oh, essentially, everything you own is borrowed.
Mm-hmm.
There is something that you will have to give away, and there's something that people, you know, that you receive from people when they die and so on and so forth. So if everything is borrowed and it doesn't belong to me, then why hold so tightly the things that I have planned when I could just keep it open? And I say, okay, you know what, God, like, I'm just going to keep my hands before you. And however this unfolds, not just with God, but with other people, because we see God show up in people. So if I want to hold on to everything and you can't have it, right? Well, the way I'm treating you is the way I'm treating God, because God is work in you, right? You made his image. So keeping your hands open and recognizing is all borrowed. And then also, if you do that, then you'll recognize, which, again, I say, you look back. When my son died, at his funeral, was 1,000 people there.
Wow.
They couldn't even all get inside the place. And like I said, he was Hindu. He was Indian. He grew up Hindu. Later on in life, he chose to accept Christ. And that was all on him, because I was mad. I said, you love Shiva. What you doing? You left love Shiva, you come back, you love Jesus. We did, you know, I didn't ever want him to feel like he had to be a Christian because I was a Christian and he lived in my house. So we celebrated those things and he made that choice. But at his funeral, there were all these people. And I remember hearing every story. And I used to wonder, especially for people who have kids, if there's someone listening that might have a child. I used to wonder, is he on, does he get anything that I'm saying? Like, is this even gonna matter? You know what I mean? Like, does it matter that I gave up my little 20s to like adopt this kid? Does it matter? You know, the thing. And I heard story after story after story of things that I had told him that he put into action, of things that, you know, I tried really hard to instill in him that I didn't see, you know, when he was with me, but that lived out with other people. And that helped me recognize you will not see, to your point about the field, right? You may be sowing into someone, you may be sowing into something, you may be sowing into a situation, a circumstance. It's not, you may not ever see the fruit. You're like, what
Ever.
matter, right? But there is something, if you may not ever know, but someone else will benefit from the fact that you chose to remain in a situation that you chose to show up and abide and be present and to trust and use your gifts to do good, whatever that was, wherever that was, for whoever that was. Whether you see it or not, God will allow the harvest to come. It's not up to, you know what I mean? Like that's the beauty of like you the, how you are able to move forward in the hard things. Like we were built for that. You were built for that. So I think it's keeping your hands open like you had there. And then also just recognizing like the release of that also opens me up to receive the things that I'm supposed to have.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that. And it's so well stated from the heart of a daughter and a mother and a friend and a believer, that this is just what life is going to be full of, these moments. And there's a rooting in your faith that keeps you connected, not unhuman. Like, yeah,
No.
you're gonna hurt, you're gonna have frustrations. And speaking of that, and you touched on it a couple times, but I wanted you to really share with what this looks like for you. But you know, when these moments are happening, and we have talked a lot about our faith, how we are experiencing this from a spiritual perspective, how we know whose we are, who we're rooted in. What are things that people can do, or maybe that even you do as self-care when moments like these happen? Because yes, we can definitely tell you to like move forward, da, 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 but there's a form of love you have to show yourself when these things happen. What does that look like for you?
So there's this Danish term. I'm somebody like, oh, she's so extra. I am.
I
It's
love it.
just
I'm
but
here for it.
there's this Danish term. If you see it, it's HYGGE. IKEA even has a mat that says it, and it's pronounced puga.
Ooh, I love that.
And so you could probably get on Pinterest and like Google huga, and you'll see all these little things come up. And so a lot of people say, oh, I huga, you know, they have a candle, they light it. But huga is the term where basically you cultivate, you curate a spirit of calm and cozy. And so it's this idea that you could be anywhere, be in anything, and you have the tools within yourself to curate a moment of home wherever you are. And so what that looks like, it could show up in different ways. Socks can be huga, which sounds so silly, but like if you think about like you're cold, and then especially in Chicago, honey, and then like in the wintertime, you put on the little fire and you put on some really fun, warm, cozy socks. Like that's huga, right? Huga can be eating a dinner with a meal with friends. Like, so you invite people over and you just have, you know, everybody bring a dish and you just sit and talk. There's also a term called fika. That's more like in Switzerland and other like European cities, but it's the same thing where you just allow yourself to be present and in whatever space you're in and curate this space of cozy and calm and presence, just to be present. And it has helped me lighting a candle and like watching it flicker, which sounds really crazy, but it can calm your mind because you're focused on this thing and it's constant and it helps you just calm down. So there's like, if you Google, you'll see like a list of things, but for me, mine, especially even during COVID and all these, like you said, different moments, was just like finding ways to hygge. And then I elevated that and was like, I'm a hygge with Jesus. And so like I would get my little coffee and you know, it might just be reading a book, not like the Bible or whatever. I mean, I do that sometimes, but like it might just be a book. And instead of just reading the book and just reading it, I choose to read it, pull out for a second and go, now where do I see me in this? And like, where do I see God in this? Or where have I seen God showing up in my story? And I actually have on my Instagram, I made for this woman's event. It was a virtual event that we did during COVID. And it was talking about cultivating courage and joy and freedom. And it was with a therapist, a group, because I had overcome suicidal stuff at the time. And so it's called like basically your self-care kit. Because I was like, people need to know like what to do. So I put together like quotes that made me feel good and books to read and things to drink and just things that, like you said, practical ways that you can self-care, and recognizing also that self-care is not just let me take a bath. You know what I mean? Like, let me go get my nails done. Like, I think a lot of times I hear people say that and I'm like, oh my Lord, this is, I mean, that can be self-care.
That's your candle.
Fine. Okay. But a lot of it is actually taking time to be aware that your mind needs a break, that your heart needs a moment, and that your body just needs rest. And so sometimes self-care is a nap, right?
I was gonna say that. I'm like, it's a nap?
No, it is a
Because
nap. I
listen,
mean, we're the only culture in the world. I'm telling you, I was
truly,
the
that doesn't
healthiest
value
when I
that.
lived in Dubai. And I did not work all hours of the day. I got up, I went to work, I came home, I was done. I was off at 3, you know, or 4. In Dubai, everything is an experience. Everything is basically always having the eyes to see. Like there's Jesus says all the time, God give him eyes to see and ears to hear. I apply that to self-care. God give me eyes to see when I just need to stop. Give me a heart to know that like I just need to love myself right now. And that might be a boundary of, you know, not going out this weekend. I hanging out with 15 people and, you know, because the going out to drink or the going out to do whatever sometimes I think is an escape from the abiding. And so it's just taking time to be with you, like abiding with me. And yeah, I think just that for me, hygge for me, and the ability just to kind of sit with myself and say, all right, let's just find ways to love me today is been helpful.
Well, I don't know about y'all, but hygge is definitely going to be incorporated as a term and as a practice. What I love about it when you described it was like home in each moment. And you said wherever you are, like you could be in a cataclysmic storm and you can do things to create home in you. And that is like super powerful. Like, love that. But even to your point that and it's so key to do that. It's so centering. And I think one key thing you said about it was the awareness when you need it, you know, because that's the part where I think beyond finding what that is for you is the awareness on knowing when it needs to happen, and prioritizing that. I know it's not in our culture to do that. We've glorified the hustle and, you know, whatever, and the over like being proud of the overworker, but truly finding that hygge, I love that. I love that. Okay, so one part of the episode that I'm asking every guest is I'm asking them to share a character either from a television show or a book that you appreciated their story. It could have been what they've gone through, it could have been their personality, or it could have been just how they overcome something. And I'm going to have you answer that, and then I'm going to share with you why I asked that question, only because you actually spoke to it early in the episode. But who is that character for you?
It's so hard.
That's literally the next sentence every guest has said. This was hard, but I get it.
Because I love so much and I feel like things changed. I would say Beth and Randall. I feel like they kind of are one, okay? Because they're Beth and Randall. They're together.
R&B.
Yes. And I mean, I have never in my life gotten excited about a show that I would write to the writer's room or the network when I thought something bad was about to happen. But when they pretended for a second like they were going to be
Listen,
divorced,
listen.
I literally got on Instagram NBC, This Is Us account, and I left
Listen.
my very nice, if y'all do this, we gonna have a problem
Okay.
message, okay? Because it's Beth and Randall. So I would say Beth and Randall, and I think that they encapsulate a lot of my other characters.
Yeah.
The way that they work together, they collaborate together, they always see each other, they always are vulnerable with one another, and yet never lose the sarcasm or the humor.
Ever.
And they're just real. And they, I mean, the writers, one day I pray to God I get to meet them. Not necessarily the actor. I love Susan Kalici Watson, and I just forgot my boy name. I'm looking at his beautiful face.
Sterling,
Yes,
yeah.
I love them, right? But like the characters that they play, these two characters, just I feel like they represented the man and women, or the men and women that like we want to be, the people that we wish we could live out like, like we want to be like them. At least I did. I wanted to be like
Yes.
them. And I also was like, okay, well, should I get married? God willing, I want this relationship where it's just
Totally. It's
open.
fun, open,
Yeah.
and has its moments. You
Yes.
know, sis, you get the prize because I was waiting for someone to bring up, hey, this is us in general, because it hasn't been brought up yet.
Gosh.
Right?
I cannot tell you how that show helped me through
Oh my gosh.
every
This is a
season.
whole nother, this is a whole nother episode,
It's another episode,
podcast episode, because,
come
but
on,
I'm so glad you did, because I thought, to your point, I was
people.
so invested because
Yeah.
they were so real. And
Yes.
what I loved about it too, just to echo you, is it's their realness, but also like the way the writers did the whole show, laid out the whole show of understanding each character's story. You didn't love them just for who they are or hate them for who they are. You understood who they were because you had the body of their life to see.
Yes. And you saw how they responded in those moments.
Yes, and the why. So, like, yeah, I
Yeah.
may not like this character, but I kind of get why they're who they are. And we're not afforded that luxury in television or in real life. Like, we meet people as they are. We don't get a, oh, well, this happened when you were young, or you
Yeah.
overcame this. And so there's this gift of knowing the story, that alters how you can appreciate the person or the character. So I love that. And why I asked this specific question to every guest this episode, and you brought it up when as soon as you did it, like in the first 15 minutes, and I was like, oh, she knows. Was for the analogy you gave of when you're watching TV or reading a book, you know what's going to happen. You're just watching the character get it.
Yeah.
And so when I thought about the theme of this season and how, you know, you didn't see it coming, you know, when you're reading a book or a character, you have this peace and knowing like, it's law and order.
Yeah.
It's gonna work out.
Right.
And I know these people are gonna survive for the most part. I mean, they might be a shocker on season five, but overall, I know they're gonna be okay.
Right.
You can watch them go through the worst. They can get hurt, they can get cheated on, that
Yeah.
whatever. But part
Yeah.
of you is like, they're gonna be okay. They're gonna
Yeah.
be okay. Because you have the positioning of someone who can see it all, similar to
Outside.
yourself, like I
Yeah.
can see it all. Or
Yeah.
specifically with This Is Us, especially since they did jump forwards, you were like,
Look.
hey, you could see Baby Jack's, something happened to Baby Jack. Well, something did happen. There's an episode
Right.
where something is going on with Baby Jack, but because
Yes.
I've seen him full grown, you were in the
I
moment like, oh my goodness. But either way, he's gonna be fine. But oh my
know.
goodness.
Right, because
You
he's
know
over
what I'm
here.
saying?
Yes.
Yeah. And like, what if we could take that positioning with our lives? Like, God has wrote our story. He's wrote it. So things will happen. And that doesn't mean you're not going to be in the moment. I remember it's a spoiler alert, but I'm going to be honest with you. Y'all should have been on top of this. But the episode where like he gets out when he's like 3 years old and he was
Oh,
like,
Jack,
yeah,
yeah.
little baby Jack. And in the moment, you're like frustrated, you're mad, you're shoulda, coulda, woulda. Like,
Yeah,
why didn't you lock the door? Why
yeah.
didn't you do this? You're in it. And
Yeah.
at the same time, that's one hand. And at the same time, you're like, well, I've seen him at 30, so I know
Right.
what he's gonna survive this moment.
Right. Right.
And that is such a perspective and and way of living, to your point, even as a believer, to be like, you know, I'm gonna be okay. I'm in this moment. Like, let's call this moment a moment. I'm still frustrated. I still didn't see it coming. And God, I'm in his hands. And he is the author. He is the, like we talk about, he's the author and finisher of our faith, but he is the author. He has the pencil. So the same way I trusted This Is Us writers to get it right, and they got it right. They got it right.
Every time.
But
Beyond every time. I'm like, do not
beyond every time,
watch this show,
down to the
okay?
train. Down to the
Yes.
train.
Oh, the
They
train.
got it right to the
We not
final
talking about the train
moment.
scene,
We can't even
okay?
do it.
Because I'll tear up and cry
Down to
right
the
now thinking
train.
about Rebecca, Lord.
Let me tell
Okay.
you, but I love it because the reason why I bring up that question is because that's the posture that we in perspective we can have. Like we he's the writer. So
Yes.
he's gonna write our story, even though we
That's
don't know
why
what's gonna happen.
you can, if you choose to be a follower of Christ,
Yes.
that is the assured trust
Yes.
have.
Yes.
That is the currency. You said you felt like when your sister passed, you were like, oh, I had faith, I had faith, I had faith. And I was saying, you know, people always say, oh, you just gotta have enough faith. There is another scripture that people always overlook that I think will give context for all the rest about the faith. And it's every man was given the measure of faith. So every person has the same amount of faith. It's just if you decide to use it and how you decide to use it. Will you allow it to be choked out by the thorns of life? Allow it to be picked up by just birds and things swooping, taking up all the sea? Or will you allow it to actually get down deep and recognize that when it feels dark, that is actually helping you, that ground is helping you to build the roots that you need to be able to grow strong and tall and flourish in a way that only God can help you flourish?
Yes, and
That's
he
the
said
sure trust.
that's the assured trust that I mean, that's the assured trust and the beauty of our the believer's walk,
Yeah, it is.
truly. That he gives us beauty for our ashes. Like, and I say that too, because even in the moment where you're like, well, this still didn't go my way, it didn't. And yet we're still promised beauty for our ashes. And I mean, there's so many assurances in the scripture and promise. So I love that. I love that arc of your stories, plural, that you can speak to that even now, looking back, that of course there are things that definitely wouldn't have planned it this way, didn't see it coming or happening this way. But there's still a level of assurance that you have, in knowing the relationship and who you are tethered to, the vine that you are, you know, the
Yeah,
vine
that's
that you are.
your, that's your, yeah, you're woven into.
Yeah. So obviously, Sharita, I could talk with you for about 17 more hours. And I still might. We just might have to get up later and continue our conversations. But I'm so grateful for you. I feel so mutual about our friendship of just God orchestrating it and it happening at such a beautiful time. And for your willingness to share your story, because I know it will help so many who are walking so many different types of stories and living so many types of moments even now. My prayer for them is for them to really take root to all of what you shared. And that they heard so many of your gems of truly understanding that, like, you need to abide. Abiding doesn't feel great, but you have that assurance. And you may not always see what that assurance is, but he'll light your path and he'll show you it little by little. And that, you know, you can just trust that you've made it this far, so the best is yet to come, and how that's written for you. And so, thank you so much for just taking the time out to share those things. It's so appreciated. I love you.
Well, love you too. I have a question really quick.
Yes, please.
Have you ever, are you allowed to pray for your guests
You
that
know
live?
what? Go ahead. No one's ever asked. No one's ever asked. And
I
for those
just,
that are willing, I
yeah,
want
if anybody wants to listen, it's not like this, they might go crazy, like, oh my God, this weird lady. But
No,
I
yeah,
just
but for those who
wanna.
definitely want to receive it, I'd love to offer that to them.
Okay, so God, thank you so much for this time to be with Allison here on page for my book. And God, I just would ask that anyone who's listening that is willing to just be present with you for just a quick moment, God, that you would just shower them with your love and your grace and your mercy, that they would know that you truly love them, that you are with them, and that no matter what's happening in their story right now, God, whatever it is that might have them feeling like they are just not seeing, that it is so dark and that that darkness is heavy and is surrounding them, God, I just would ask that you would allow your Holy Presence Spirit to be with them and remind them that they are not alone, that you have a good plan for their story, and that it is going to work out for the good and also for the good of others in their story. And I just would ask that you would allow your angels to circle them and camp around about them and just shower them with your grace and your goodness. Would you open doors that only you could open, God? And would you shut the doors that need to be shut? And would you just allow people to come into their story, the people already in their story, to show up in ways that they could never ask, think, or imagine? I thank you for the magic moments that you have planned just for their life, that they could see your goodness and mercy following them. All of this I declare and we believe it. And I am so grateful for your word being true. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for that. That's
You're welcome.
What a blessing. What a blessing.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. I'm glad to have you here. And for all those who are listening today, I know you were blessed. And so just continue to keep pushing forward, being open to God's plan for you, and have a wonderful week. And just continue to have fun, find the joyous moments. And as Sharita said, that the Holy Spirit magic, those precious, precious moments that you have. Take care. Bye-bye. I'll tell you no matter.